Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train Podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Warden. As always, ride with me is my homie, Mr. Patrick Irving. Remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by Pax Inc. That's P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C. And Pax Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org to learn more about PAX Inc., its members, and all of its initiatives that it has going on. As you know, while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about myself, Patrick, and all of the shows that we have, all the podcasts that we have right here on the Freedom Train podcast series. On the Freedom Train Network, as we do what we do when we do what we do, how we do what we do, because we breaks it down. Ain't that right, Pat?
Yeah, Burrs.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. For old time's sake, Pat, for old time's sake. Tell them about the app.
For old time's sake? Is old time already?
not really, but we say it every week, so.
Hey, so we got an app, Freedom Train Radio app. You should go and get the app. If you got a Google, go to the Google store, type in Freedom Train Radio or Freedom Train Network. The app should come up. If you don't feel like doing all that, you just go to the website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. It's right there on the homepage. You click that button, it'll take you right to the Google store link where you can download the app. If you're on iPhones, sorry we ain't got nothing for you. But in the app, you'll get an update every single time a new show drops. You'll get an update anytime we just want to send you something and keep your head up, smile, or whatever it might be. And you'll have all of the shows and all of the information right there at your fingertips for you to peruse at your leisure. You'll also have access to the Freedom Train radio stream, the internet radio stream, which every weekend is streaming 24 hours a day with shows from the week, with lectures from prominent black historians. All of that is coming through, and it's all on the app. It's jam-packed with information. So if you support us, you should definitely go and get the app. And if you don't support us, you should still go and get the app so that you can say you're supporting black businesses, because that's what all the black people say when they get something.
Whoop, there it is. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Freedom Train Network, on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Freedom Train Network. Follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. But everything else across the board, type in Freedom Train Network. We come right up. You down with the click. That's how we get down. So today we're going to talk about a couple things. We want to talk about Naomi Osaka versus Serena Williams and everything that surrounded all the controversy that surrounded that. Then we want to talk about the white police officer who, I got my rabbit ears up, who mistakenly walked into the wrong apartment and killed a black dude. We're going to talk about that. We want to talk about black elected officials, how to get the most out of our black elected officials. And then we're going to talk about the latest Supreme Court things that's been going on with Kavanaugh and him going through the hearing and all the things there. So, you know, a couple of things we got to talk about today right here on the Freedom Train podcast series. So Pat,
what up?
Before we get deep into it, man, how you been up to, dog? How you been up? What you been having going on, man?
Not much, you know. That was a real political answer.
I know, dog. We ain't talked, dog. I'm just saying, what's up with you, dog? We ain't talked in a minute, dog.
We talked, what was it, like 4 or 5 days ago?
But still, dog, that was 4 or 5 days ago,
yeah,
dog.
That is a while. Nah, man, I'm just chilling. About? Same old same, you know, trying to get the information up, trying to get the the various programs up and running here in Charlotte, the summer program for next summer and the homeschool co-op, we still trying to get that going, trying to get backers. We got a location. So, you know, getting the information up on the PACS website, www.pacts.org. I'm sorry, www.pactsinc.org.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that information up in the Learning Center. You know, just been grinding, doing whatever I can to not sleep except during the daylight.
Like a vampire. I guess,
yeah,
man. Look at here. I done finished this third book. Finished writing. It's getting edited right now. So I feel good about that.
I'm working on that too. You know, I'm working on it now that you mention it. Because we're supposed to be dropping our books together, everybody, and going on a speaking tour at the same time together.
Y'all better support us. Man, I want to move to New York.
I do not.
I think I do.
You can have that all by yourself.
I want to move, though. I want to move to a city that got a little more going on.
Why would you want New York? New York got a lot more going on, but it's got a lot more problems. So I'm sure it's going to look the same.
I'm sure. But I'm sure I'll be able to benefit from the differences as well. So I just want to move. And I'm ready to move, man. So.
Why don't you move to Dallas?
Like,
Houston.
Hey, man. I am. Oh, Houston on the list, too. I do like Houston.
I would tell you to move up here, but we keep talking about we going to move, so.
Hey, I don't know.
Maybe Savannah. You research Savannah?
Yeah, I like Savannah. I like Savannah, but Savannah's small, too. So. I don't know if Savannah will have more opportunities than Tallahassee. So I don't know.
Ain't Savannah bigger than Tallahassee, ain't it?
It might be. I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm just saying.
But, man, so did you actually get a chance to watch the Osaka versus Serena match yesterday?
I did not. I saw, like, clips and snippets, but I didn't get to see the match, no.
I didn't watch the whole match. I missed the whole first set. But I caught half of the second set, like right in the middle, Serena going off on the judge. That's when I kind of started tuning in, because I was watching football. You know, it was a good football game going on at the time. So I was watching football. Then I was in my group chat. One of my homeboys was like, "Man, Serena going off on the referee." So I found the match and started seeing everything that was going on. And then I realized that Serena was playing Osaka in the finals. And I was like, oh, shit. So Naomi Osaka is a Japanese-born girl whose mother is Japanese, her father is Haitian. She 19, 20 years old or something like that.
Yeah.
She made it to her first U.S. Open final, first Grand Slam Open final. She made it to the final, and she eventually ended up beating Serena. Now, it's a lot of things. This story has layers. It's a lot of layers that you could take it. But the controversy in it is how Serena was penalized and a point taken away from her. And
costing her the game, right? All the reason I say that, because I read two or three stories, and they all said that basically by them taking that point, they took the game. So I didn't see it. I don't know, but that's what I read.
Osaka had already won the first set, like 6-2, I think, and she was up in that set.
Okay.
So Serena, and you know, we've
game. I don't mean the whole game. I just mean that game.
That particular game. They may have had a. She might have could have won that particular set. She probably could have won that particular set. I'm not gonna say that they're totally off on that when they talk about that particular set. She might have could have won that particular set, but the overall match, no, that didn't take away from the overall match. But I could say they have validity when they're talking about that particular set. But now one of the things I find interesting about this whole match is how the media goes out of their way to omit her father and his Haitian lineage. because they're like the Japanese, and she got to keep reminding people that her daddy Haitian. So that's the first thing that kind of sticks out to me. And the second thing was I saw some people jumping on her because she won, and I saw one young lady in particular jumping on her because she wasn't dark skinned. And so I have no idea why anybody would jump on with even have anything bad to say about the young girl. The young girl ain't do nothing but play tennis so far.
Yeah, especially if she's not going out of her way to, if she's embracing her Haitian heritage, hell, that's more than most black people are doing, so.
Right.
I mean, I guess, you know, it's an issue, you know, Serena lost, so that's always significant whenever that happens. For us, anyways, in the community. But, you know, the whole situation, Serena's had a rough year. You know, the cat suit that she had for the,
she was wearing it
for her blood pressure, her blood flow issues or whatever. They banned that. And I think that was at the French Open or something.
They banned the cat suit, saying it was too revealing and things. But yet, you see ass cheeks on them white girls.
Yeah. So then you get there. She had a couple other rub-offs with referees and whatnot. And then you run into this situation where a referee, you know, an umpire just flat out took a point because she called him a thief.
Right.
And I get her angle of saying, hey, man, like men say worse shit all the time. Like, why? Like, what? But at the same, you know, and not even at the same time, because I don't even know if they would have did that if another white woman had called the umpire a thief.
Hell no. Hell no, they wouldn't have done that. They wouldn't have said that. That would have been a non-issue. They'd been like, oh, well, he called her a thief and all those things. That would have been like a subtext, you know, and everything that's going on. But now, one of the things that really pissed me off about that match was how the commentators were talking about Serena defending herself was taken away from Osaka's victory. And I'm like, no, the hell it ain't. Y'all talking about it. Who's making you talk about what happened? You could focus on Osaka winning. Serena Williams, I thought Serena did a great job of putting her anger to the side and being there for Osaka, because she can see a young girl who she knows exactly what Osaka's about to go through. And this is her first victory, and she's so emotional. And Osaka's emotional for different reasons, because she just won the U.S. Open. This is her first time in the U.S. Open. She just won it. And not only did she beat Serena, but, hell, she got a hug from Serena. The girl started crying in the interviews after, because she was talking about getting a hug from Serena, because this is her idol. That's like me catching a touchdown on Ed Reed. Like, I'm going to be excited than the mug. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, it's all of that was going on. Talking about black girl magic being sprinkled all over that, but then they're trying to take it away. You got things being taken away from both of them on both sides because Serena was cheated, and she's standing up for herself, and they basically saying she's a bad person for standing up for herself. Then you got assholes on the other side who black, who mad at Osaka because she's not dark-skinned, or they mad at her because she beat Serena. Motherfucker, she was supposed to beat Serena. That's why she was in the match. Either way, it's a win. Like Osaka's going out of her way to remind people that she black. So to me, either way, it's a win for black people.
Yeah, no, I get that. And, you know, the media doesn't like, I don't think the media likes either one of the Williams sisters. But they don't seem to like Serena at all.
They don't, because she be killing them white girls, and she look better than white girls.
Well, you know, don't let them tell it, because they also love to talk about how mannish she look and how she's not attractive and this, that, and the third.
Man, we know them white boys be going home masturbating off of them pictures. We know that, man. Come on.
But I do agree. I do think they're making it. And I, you know, for me, it's twofold. On one hand, they're making it. They're taking away from her victory now, Serena. And on the other hand, not on the other hand of that, because there is no other hand of that. I will say I think Serena is missing the boat in terms of her stance, because I think her being a woman was part of it, yes. Mm-hmm. But I think her being a black woman specifically is what got, you know, what got her situation to unfold the way it did. And by her only putting a stake in the ground on this woman shit, she's kind of missing, in my opinion, she's missing another side of the equation.
Well, you know, like I said earlier, when we were talking earlier, I think it's interesting that Serena goes through so much from white people in white America, and they're always trying to step on her and keep her down and pull her back and give her losses. I think it's interesting that she ended up still marrying a white dude through all the stuff that has happened. But, you know, it's her choice or whatever. I just find that interesting that, you know, you go through all these things with white people, but you still choose to marry a white dude. So, I mean, that's her choice, and that's what she want to do, but you know me.
Yeah, I mean, and that, anybody that understands the system, understands what we got going on, would understand why that would be interesting, because it's interesting to me as well. But, you know, I think, you know, we talk about implicit biases all the time and how in America you're raised to view black people one way and white people another way. And when you deal with asshole white people in general, because of the way we've been raised, we just write that off as that individual, you know. And
yeah.
I think that's what a lot of people end up doing when they meet a racist white person. It's easy for them to say, oh, well, that's just that person. But if they meet a black person that's having a bad day, you know, because we've all been raised to view black people a particular way, we take that one bad experience and we paint that over everybody. And there isn't enough talk and discussion about implicit bias and things of that nature, but
shout out to
Osaka, definitely. She seemed happy. She looked like she could be I've been saying this all day, but she do look like she could be Tiger Woods' little sister or something.
Got that blazing in the huh?
Yeah, she Malcolasian or whatever he called himself. But hey, she seemed, from what you say, she wants to be black. So, she embraces her blackness, unlike Tiger Woods.
Because it's a clip. She was like, oh, yeah, and by the way, my dad's Haitian. Shout out to Haiti. You know, because there was like Japanese. I'm like, hold on. I'm my daddy Haitian. Like, look at my skin tone. Like you don't get this skin without black in you somewhere. So.
And that's cool, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's fly. So, you know, anybody that's down for claiming their blackness, I'm down for you until you show me proof otherwise. So,
yeah,
hey, I ride or die. I like her. I mean, I ain't seen that, not the like. And even without the point from what you say, she was beating Serena ass anyway. So,
yeah. I mean, it was her day. It was her day. But I do wanna speak to, especially to the people who have a problem with this young lady already. And from two different angles. For one, I want people who are conscious or who's supposed to represent the conscious community to realize, yes, because I think sometimes some people, they're still angry at things that have happened. And dealing with white America, and just not just white America, but just other cultures and stuff, how they shit on black people, but they're still not as studied. So they'll take somebody like Osaka, and they'll rip her to shreds because her movements are not directed toward the empowerment of the black community. And I think sometimes people have to take a step back and realize that you have educated yourself, and you've taken this path, but this person clearly hasn't. So you can't put your expectations on this person, even though I would love for everybody to be pro-black and really be about the movement. But the reality of it is that everybody isn't. So I'm not going to waste my energy being mad at somebody who didn't take a pro-black stance. You know what I'm saying? And so just reminding people that, like, you don't have to waste your energy on that stuff because the person didn't take a pro-black stance. You just make sure that you be the best black person that you can be as an individual. But on the other end is, it's if you are hating on this young lady just because she beat Serena, you trash too. Like, I mean, it's a match. Like, one of them two was going to lose, you know.
Yeah, well, that's probably the biggest fact of all. Somebody had to lose.
I mean, you know, it's not like the girl told them to cheat for her, right? So it's just looking at that, like, these are times, because it almost reminds me, and it's not as bad. It wasn't as bad as what black folk did to Gabby Douglas, which was trash, because they didn't like her hair, even though she out here ruling, like tearing shit up. But, oh, her hair ain't together. Yeah, your hair together, but your ass still is garbage.
That Gabby Douglas thing was interesting, because I ain't never seen black people so interested to hate on a young black girl at the time. Like, she wasn't even 18 at the time. I don't know.
They lined up to do that shit.
Right. Like, I think she was, 16 years old at the time. I was like, I've never seen black people so anxious to eat a 16-year-old girl. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I still haven't been able to figure out where that came from.
Hate, it's the ultimate self-hate that black people harbor. You know?
Right.
So
I wasn't even no huge Gabby, because you know, like how I am about athletes, you know, you got to do something more than be good at your sport for me to support you.
Right.
But at the same time, you got to do something more than just play with your sport for me to hate you. Is what, like, I was like, yo, like,
yeah.
I don't know. And I guess you're right, the Osaka thing, because I've seen some negative things since we've been on the show about her. So it's not as bad as what Gabby went through, but even in that, like Osaka hasn't given y'all anything to hate on. Like, what are you mad at?
Right.
The girl literally ain't done nothing but beat Serena.
Right, right, right. I guess that's enough, huh? I got a question to ask, and it's kind of, it's going to take us away from this conversation, but I have to ask you before I forget. I just thought this podcast would be the perfect place to ask. Remember when the Asian beauty supply store in Tulsa, when the dude punched the lady in the mouth, and then the dudes was out there protesting, and then they did the 50% off sale, and the black women lined up and wrapped the line around the corner. So where was Madame Noir, the Griot, and for Harriet, Madame Noir and the Griot? Because, you know, and I'm specifically calling out these vehicles, because whenever black men do something, they jump on it. So where were those publications? Where were those vehicles when black women did that? And why didn't they take the chance to straighten out their own women? You know, 'cause that would have been the perfect time for them. Like, hey, black women, get your stuff together, something like that. But why do you think they were silent on that?
I don't know. I can't comment because I haven't been to either one of their websites, so I don't know if they actually wrote something and it just didn't get out, or.
Well, because you know, usually if something is out, they'll put it and they get. Well, especially I know when it's something with a black man, they put it out and it's pushed and you see it.
I will say this, not speaking to those, because like I said, I don't know if they wrote something or not, because I don't go to their website. And I'm not really friends with people that share their stuff anymore. And the ones that I am, you know, I kind of block them. We still friends, but I don't see their posts. I didn't block them, but I just don't see their posts because, you know, nothing good ever comes of it. But
right.
I will say we all know that there's a large faction of the women's movement that just doesn't like men. And they won't say anything about a story or present anything about a story unless there's a male villain in it.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, there are a lot of those, and I'm not saying a majority, but there are a lot of those black women groups out there who fit that narrative to a T. Any other man can do anything else to them and they'll let it slide. But a black man can do something to him and they up his ass and around the corner. Now, again, I preface that by saying that I don't think they're a majority. I do think they're a minority, a small minority, but they're
That's
very
a good
loud,
number.
They're very vocal, and they're very powerful.
Yeah. I just, well, you know, just, I was, that's just something I've been good thinking question, about since
I mean, but then, you know, like I said, maybe somebody might produce an article. They'll be like, you know, somebody will drop it in the comments. Boom. See, they did say something. It'd be like, oh, okay. So, you know.
Oh, cool. Please. If you, if we're wrong, let us know. If we're wrong, let us know. Drop it in there so we can talk about it. But, you know. But anywho. So, what's, it's in Dallas,
man.
Right? Yeah, it's in Dallas, right, where the dude was home, and the white cop mistakenly came and went to the wrong apartment and ended up shooting and killing the black man. And they say a warrant for her arrest was out there, but they took the warrant back.
Yeah, what was crazy was they didn't know where she was. After she did it. Like,
what
she
wasn't
in custody.
I mean, but she, like, but that's the thing. Like, why isn't she in custody? Why isn't she in jail? Why isn't she in cuffs? Why isn't she, like, what the hell is going on with this?
I don't know, bro. Look, there have been a lot of crazy stories coming out of both Florida and Texas for the last 20 years. And this one is about as crazy as they've gotten, because she walked into his home. And I guess he kept his door open because he felt safe in his environment, felt safe in his community. He didn't feel threatened or nothing like that, so he wasn't really worried about nothing. But anyways, so she walked into his home, and I don't know the layout of the apartment, so I'm going to speculate here. Despite looking around and seeing a setup that's different from her setup, because I ain't never walked in nobody's house and been like, oh, this shit look just like mine. And I spent 6 years in the military, 4 years in base housing, where all of the houses have the exact same setup.
Yeah.
And I've never walked into anybody else's house and been like, oh, this shit looks just like my house.
So, I mean, and that's my thing. First question come to mind is, did you leave your door unlocked? Because if you didn't leave your door unlocked, that's the first indication that maybe that's not your house. Second of all, she ain't the first drunk person to ever go home after a night of drink. So you mean to tell me that you are that drunk where you can't recognize that this ain't your door? And then, because, you know, a lot of different reports and stories and pictures and things are coming out. So I seen something today that was showing that in that particular complex, and I don't know how true that is, but that's just the pictures I saw, but they were saying in that particular complex, the locks on the doors for the police officers are greater than the locks on the regular doors. So you have to go through a little more to get through those locks and things. So if it's just like, if you got all that stuff on there and the door's just unlocked, but like you said, as you walk in there, you kind of see everything. So I know, like, you know, Tariq Nasheed is all over. He's saying that he thinks that it was a hit. So I don't know.
No, I don't think it was a hit. And the reason I say that, well, I don't know enough about the dude. So for it to be a hit, you know, like, this dude would have to have been moving in some way that was significant for me to be like, blah, blah, blah. So the mere fact that I haven't, and I've been doing a fair amount of research just trying to figure out who the dude was, and I haven't found much. So I don't think it was a hit, you know, and if they're not going to say that this lady was drunk, which that would be the only other explanation I would have for her not recognizing that it's not her apartment. Now,
if she wasn't drunk, it's even more egregious if she wasn't drunk, so they better not even try to sell that.
And that's why I said her being drunk would be the only excuse. But if she wasn't drunk, I still wouldn't think that it was a hit, in the sense if she was sent to kill somebody. But it would go to another level, in my opinion. I do think what happened once she saw the black dude, if she wasn't drunk, all things being considered, it's still internalized racism. It's still implicit racism.
Yeah.
She saw a black dude. Instantly, she felt threatened. She felt fear. She felt all of the things that we're programmed to fear when we see black dudes. And she responded by discharging her weapon and eliminating the threat.
Yeah.
So and there's no way you can talk this out of the realm of racism.
Yeah, and they trying to give her a manslaughter. Nah, she need a first degree murder charge.
She don't need no manslaughter for that. You don't go. Like, it's not even possible for you to go into somebody's house and kill them in their own home and get a manslaughter charge. That shouldn't even be legal.
Right. But see, that's why I be trying to. Where's the feminist movement? Damn it. Oh, I forgot. That's a black man who was actually killed by a white woman. So they ain't go. Never mind.
Yeah, no, it. Well, I guess.
Right is right. Wrong is wrong.
It is. But the more I think about it, I guess you could call it manslaughter because it wasn't premeditated, and if my understanding is correct, for it to be murder, it has to be premeditated. Now, and that's if my understanding is correct. So,
but I do think in this, like, okay, because if she wasn't drunk and she went to this dude's house, that to me, that's murder. Because how do you soberly go inside somebody else's house and kill them? Like, you had to have those intentions of killing that dude.
That's true.
You had the new dude left his house, left his door unlocked and all those different things. Especially if you wasn't drunk. If you sober, that's premeditated. In my mind.
Well, it could not be. I mean, we have to figure out what the circumstances were that would cause her to walk into his house. Now, if she walked into his house with the thought of killing him, then obviously that's murder. That's second degree, clearly and easily. But if she, you know, if she... You just gotta, like, there's so much I don't know. We don't know about the situation. One thing is clear. You can't get away from the racism in it. Like, that's upfront and obvious because a non-racist person would have de-escalated the situation without somebody dying.
Right.
So for you, those of you that don't understand what I'm saying, that goes back to this conversation we need to have about implicit biases and how we're programmed to view people a certain type of way, and that causes our responses. Whether or not you actually feel any type of way or not, the mere fact that we're all in America programmed to view black people as inferior and as a threat, and that plays itself out when you get into a place where you're afraid or you're in a heightened state of awareness or you're excited, that's racism. So, and notice what I'm saying. I didn't call her a racist. I said that's racism. So, you know, and that's for everybody that like to play on words and shit. But
she need to be fucked up, though.
She does. No, there's no getting around that. She need to be fucked up. She should be in jail. The mere fact that she isn't in jail is another overt and clear sign of racism.
Like, what is there to think about? What is there to think? Like, come on, man. Let's be real. Like,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
If anybody of color did that, police officer or not, they would be in jail right now.
Right. Even if you got something to think about, that doesn't excuse the fact that you can think about whatever you need to think about while that person's in jail.
I mean, that
person should not be walking free after they just killed somebody in their own home.
But what's her? I want to know what the excuse is. What's the what? Oh, how do you think it's your house? Like, for real? So you, this is your first time ever going into your house? Like, come on now. You can't tell me this is, you can't tell me you don't know where you live. You can't tell me that.
There is no reasonable explanation.
So I didn't, I've been drunk and found my way to my house. And I even like, especially like when we was in college living with roommates, it was no mistaking that my room was up the stairs straight ahead. That's no mistaking. It wasn't up the stairs to the right. It wasn't downstairs straight ahead. It was upstairs straight ahead. And even when I was drunk and didn't make it all the way upstairs, I knew where I was headed to. So you can't tell me this chick all of a sudden, oh, man, the alcohol is so great, she don't know where she lives. Come on, man. You know how many countless people have made it to their own house? Come on, man, don't give me that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would want to see, I want to know what her blood alcohol level was.
Right.
Like, that's like need to know information. If you're going to try to explain, and I'm actually Googling it right now to see, you know, what her blood alcohol level was. And I know I'm not going to find nothing, but
Amber Geiger is her name.
Yeah, that's her name. I wasn't going to say her name because I wasn't going to say his name.
I ain't got to say his name, but her name is Amber Geiger.
Cause you know,
hey, didn't somebody in his family forgave her already, didn't they?
Yeah, I think his mama did.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a minute. Fuck that, mama. Mama, you tripping. Come on, man. Black people got to be tired of being stepped on. At some point, we got to get tired of getting stepped on. The forgiveness tactic is played out. Only losers, an oppressed people with a loser mindset believes that forgiveness is the correct action after you've been terrorized. Like, come on. You got to get over that. Like, forgive, not forgiving that girl not going to block your blessings. Not forgiving that girl not going to keep you from doing anything in life. If anything, you should be trying to find her and beat her ass and she free.
Well, for me, forgiveness is for you so that you cannot hold on to grudges and whatnot. So I don't have no problem with black people that want to forgive. I have a problem with black people that feel like they got to broadcast the shit. Because to me, that's like that's not helping anybody.
Yeah, but even though like how is forgiving your enemies helping you to stop being fucked up by your enemies? Like, that's my thing with black people. It's like, stop doing the same thing over and over when you know it's not working. If you don't like racism, stop feeding the monster.
And that's
every
why,
time,
right? Go ahead.
I'm just gonna say, every time somebody do something fucked up to us, if we give them a way out, how is that gonna stop people from fucking with us?
And that is exactly why I said, the moment, like, why do we feel like we gotta broadcast the shit? Why do we feel like it's an obligation to go out there and let them know that we forgive them? Look, that ain't got nothing to do. Look, whether or not I forgive you don't have nothing to do with nothing. It don't. That's a personal decision that I make for my own peace of mind. It don't even really have shit to do with you. So why do I have, like, why do these people feel obligated to say that? It gives a lot of credence to the argument that these people are instructed to say these things, or it's become such a pattern in our community of us getting shot and then somebody getting on TV talking about, I forgive you, that all of a sudden it feels like the proper response. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of levels. There's a lot of things fucked up with that. Look, you kill any man one of mine it'll be a cold day in hell before I get on TV talking about I forgive you.
And I don't let you be.
I ain't gonna do it within the week.
That's like, I don't see how Trayvon daddy, knowing George Zimmerman, I'd have been to found Zimmerman. Zimmerman would have had to show, he had to rent me a fade by now, at least, at least. He'll have at least rent me a fade by now. Yeah. I would have saved up some money. And hey, I'm going to jail for some time because I'm finna go run up on this cracker. So,
now,
you know.
I ain't seeing nothing about what her blood alcohol level was, but I did see something that said that she was in uniform. And I remember reading that before. I don't know how true that is, but I
she was drinking in uniform.
She was in uniform when she went in the apartment, which means she was drinking in uniform. That has to be a conduct violation.
Right.
So even at that, though, they said she had just moved into the apartment a month prior.
Hey, so she been going to her shit long enough to know where she live at. I'm sure she just said her address long enough to know where she live at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you wasn't there. It ain't like that was your first day.
Yeah, it's not as egregious as if you had been there for years. But it's still, a month is long enough for you to be then. I can understand walking to the wrong door still after a month on occasion. But when you walk in your house, a month is long enough for you to be able to recognize your own shit.
Man,
Did you leave
your door unlocked? If you know you didn't leave your door unlocked, maybe that ain't your damn house.
People don't be remembering stuff like that, Joe. I gotta. I mean, I do because I'm paranoid as shit.
But see, that's the issue though. Like, but to me, I kind of feel you. We grown. We adults. We grown folk. You mean tell me you got a habit of just walking out and leaving your door unlocked?
We also black.
So, well, that's why she killed him.
Because I have met white people that leave their doors unlocked. I most certainly have. I've met more than a few, actually.
Man, look at
that's where you'd be like, boy, it must be nice to be white. You can walk, leave your door unlocked, just you ain't worried about shit.
Man, not only can you do that, you can just walk in somebody's black house and just kill them and get
away with it. Most definitely. You know that.
But that gets into policies, politics, and all those things there.
Well, before we go there, though, I do want people to think about this, though. And I want people to just visualize. Just close your eyes and visualize. You are living in a time where the news is constantly reporting on police officers abusing their power in terms of black people especially, but all people,
right.
People say that, but black people especially. You hear somebody, you sitting on your couch or at your computer or whatever, in your house, safe in your space, and you hear your door open. And you get up to go see who it is. And there's a police officer in uniform. Even worse, and a lot of black women won't get this, but for black men, you should. Even worse, it's a white woman in a police officer's uniform.
It's going to go bad.
Already, he was probably nervous and scared as shit.
Cause it's finna go bad. It's a white and she drunk. Like so, a white lady just walked past my window. A little crackhead white lady just walked past my window as you're saying that. So that just made the tension more crazy. So, but go ahead.
Right. So you see in your house a white woman in a police uniform with a gun, and then you see her with the gun out. And you probably know at that moment that you're dead.
Yeah.
And no matter what you do, no matter what movement you make, because you also at that point see that this white lady is probably, she probably got a tinge of fear in her eyes. And just picture that. Just imagine the last moment of this dude's life in his own safe space. You know, everybody like to talk about, imagine Trayvon Martin walking home in his neighborhood. And that's good. That's true. But now, you're not even out in the street. You're in your own home.
In your own home.
Now, imagine what that must be like. And now think about that every time your door opens. You know what I'm saying? Like every single time your door opens, just think about a cop being in your house with their hand on their gun.
But I even take it further than that. To me, if a white person feel like being fucked up, that mean we dead.
Yeah, but people gotta visualize these things. Otherwise, because we hear about them so much, it don't move the needle no more. Like, unfortunately, this story didn't even get its standard 2 weeks of fame.
Yeah, I know. But it's showing that we are paying less and less attention, and the little fight we did have, we're losing it more and more and more. So you still have that little section of people like us who still on it, but other than that.
But, you know. You start talking about cops fucking us up with impunity. You start talking about the legal system. You start talking about the Justice Department, checks and balances on the Justice Department. The legislative branch has some checks. The executive branch has some checks. Now, we've already fucked up with the executive branch because, Trump is in there. But there's a lot of legislative issues that we could step up on if motherfuckers would just start paying attention to community politics and the black elections, the black electorates, black politicians. So yeah. Go ahead, Joe. Tell them what's on.
Well, now, for me personally, one of the reasons why I want to talk about this is I'm in Florida right now, and, Andrew Gilliam just won the Democratic nomination to be the governor of the state of Florida.
Right.
Now, I want to have this conversation about black elected officials because I want our community to be able to do two things. One, hold black elected officials accountable, and two, be able to get as much out of these black elected officials as possible. And I set it up like that because Andrew Gilliam is about to become, he's the Democratic nomination. He's the Democratic nominee for the governor of the state of Florida, which right now, he's still simultaneously the mayor of the city of Tallahassee. And it's not just on him. So I'm not going to say this as in I'm making it seem like this is only Andrew Gilliam's fault, because Tallahassee have had two black mayors and a plethora of black people on our city commissions, and our black communities are getting worse. Gentrification is running rampant in our city. There's money being given to the white communities to enhance those communities, but our black communities is being urban renewed. And I want us to think about when we are voting, are we voting for somebody just because they're black? Because we're not in a day and time where we should be voting for somebody just because they're black. Because think about the history of black elected officials and think about what we've been able to get out of these black elected officials. And I answer that for you real quick. Not much, if anything, from black elected officials from the first till now. And it's time for us to think about politics different. It's time for us to use politics different. But it's time for also for us to not just have black people in these seats and just be excited, because you have a black lady who just won something. I forgot exactly what she won in Massachusetts. You got the Stacey Abrams in Georgia. You got Ben Jealous, I think, in the D.C. district or something like that. You have at least three black people running for governors. And one black person just won, I think, legislator or senate, something like that, in Massachusetts or something like that. But we're constantly voting black people into these positions, but black people are getting nothing from these things. So we need to have a real conversation and rethink politics and how we use politics and just supporting somebody because they're black. Because if history is being made at the expense of our community, then we failed.
But I'll say this. We haven't received anything of meaningful long-term substance from a black politician since the end of Reconstruction. Not on a communal level.
That's
so we're talking about over 100 years ago. And the fact that most black people don't even know that we had a surge of black politicians over 100 years ago speaks to the fact that there's something severely fucked up in our community.
Because we don't know. We believe that what's going on now with the political atmosphere in the black community is brand new, and it's not. It's a resurgence of what happened over 100 years ago.
Which should make anybody nervous, because we know what came next.
The rise of the Klan.
Right. And people, and see, that's when we get into these conversations about understanding history. This is why history is important. Because we had a Reconstruction. We had a rise in black activity, black political activity, black social and economic activity. Then we had a rise in the Klan. And we had a war happening. After the Civil War, we had a continuation of political and a cultural war happening in the white community, kind of like we're having right now.
Yeah.
And then the liberal white sold black people out.
Bernie Sanders.
To save the community, to save their culture, their community, to save the American political establishment. Kind of like what's about to happen. Because you already hear a lot of the Democratic strategists and the talking heads on TV talking about the Democrats need to form a solid identity. They need to form a solid this. They need to do that. They need to move more to the right. They need to become closer to the center. And that's what happened in the 1900s. The left.
Back to, you're talking about back when black people was Republicans?
Right. That's what happened with the Republican Party, not Democrats. That's why I say liberals. That's what happened with the liberals back then. They moved closer to the center so that the right could feel comfortable in what they had going on. And in that, they cut the strings of black people, hence the end of Reconstruction and the beginning of the Black Codes and all of that other shit that happened. We're going through all of the exact same things right now. And it started in the 1980s. So if you want to talk about what's going on now politically, all that shit started in the 80s and 90s. The 90s was our second Reconstruction period. Face it. It was the second height of blackness in America. And what we're experiencing right now is that transition. Third. That they experienced from the end of Reconstruction to the introduction of the Black Codes. That's that phase we're in right now.
Well, I also want to say this too, like you said earlier, the reason why this is such a resurgence of politics is because of the rise of the Ku Klux Klan. Their presence basically negated a lot of the gains. Their presence also made a lot of black people not necessarily get into politics, fearing for their lives and things. Or like now, when they became politics, they were ineffective because they were fearing for their lives and fearing for their jobs and their livelihood and all those things. So that's why, for a period of time, you didn't see blacks in politics and all those things. You didn't see a lot. You didn't see as much as you do now because of the rise of the Klan. So as an elder said to me in the conversation a couple of weeks ago, if Gillum actually wins the governorship of Florida, black people better have your shit ready because these crackers coming for us.
And see, the interesting part of that is just like the Great Depression wiped out all of the economic gains of the black community, the ones that white people didn't just flat out take.
Right, and destroy.
And destroy. And, you know, there was a whole process for that.
Right, not
the
just
Great
postal.
The Recession did the exact same thing to us now. That in 2008, 2009, when Barack Obama got won his first election.
Oh, yeah, that, she got worse.
That had the exact same economic impact on black people.
Man, the home loan scams that they was giving people, they was giving black people bad loans purposely that they knew was going to bust up in 2008.
And we lost. All of the significant economic gains we had made were destroyed in the last recession. So while the American economy has bounced back, and while to an extent white people have bounced back, because really their bounce back is concentrated in the upper class of them as well. They broke people got worse off just like ours did.
Black people didn't bounce back.
The point. We did not bounce back. I think at recession level.
But I think we are bamboozled by the success that celebrities have, or the perceived success that celebrities have, to me.
Well, and I would agree with that, because we have, in my opinion, we have fewer black celebrities, but they're getting more screen time. You think
I mean, what?
Go ahead.
What? I'm sorry, not to cut you off, but I sound like I'm one of them drunks, not trying to get that out. But being like Jay-Z and Beyonce. Jay-Z and Beyonce only represent Jay-Z and Beyonce. But Jay-Z being one, because Jay-Z was one of the handful of, part of the handful of crowd of rappers in the beginning who understood the power of them owning their own space. And so now the game, like especially the music game and the rap game, has all the components for more people to control their own stuff. So you have those arenas where people can become richer. They can garner more revenue and things by owning more of their products and things than people in the past. But that's only entertainment. That's not the everyday person. You'd be surprised how many people that you see on Instagram who own these businesses, because I talk to them. We're all still trying to make it. Some of us still work 9 to 5s. Yes, we out here busting our ass, and our businesses are doing good and they're improving, but we're still working 9 to 5s because the economy overall for black people still hasn't recovered.
And even if
a person is working for themselves, may not be working their 9 to 5, they are still just trying to make it like everybody else. And so we're not at a place to where black America is able to flourish, because for one, to me, when it comes to the politics, we still don't know what we're doing, and we're so politically ignorant that we just allow people to get in. We just be happy with people getting in office instead of making sure these people take care of our communities. Stop voting if you're going to vote for somebody just because they're the less of two evils. Damn it, if there's a write-in slot, write your damn name in. We don't have to vote for the lesser of the two evils, but we keep doing that. And like I said earlier, when a black person is elected, we don't know how to get a damn thing from them. So my question for Florida, for black people in Florida, my question for you all, what are we going to do to get the most out of Andrew Gillum if he's governor? Because we already dropped the ball on getting what we need to get out of him as mayor of Tallahassee. We didn't get shit. So as him being the governor of the state of Florida, how do we get the most out of Gillum being the governor? How do we become organized? What do we do to get the most out of that?
Well, you know, I made a post saying that I made several posts, but there were two of them that I think we as black people need to really pay attention to. One was when I said politics is what happens in between elections, not on it.
Right. Right.
And the second one is, whether your candidate wins or loses, what you do after the election should be the exact same. Black people need to start creating their own policies. And yes, we can create our own policies. We can write them things out. You as an individual can write out a policy if you want to. There's no rule or regulation saying you can't. Stop getting mad at special interest groups that write policy and give it to senators.
Right.
Write your own goddamn policy take right. campaign and lobby and get that shit signed. That's one process we need to do.
Organize it, because we're not organized when it comes to politics. All we do, we wait for a motherfucker like Angela Rye to come down and rile the people up. And not saying nothing bad about Angela, but that's what I'm saying this from a personal standpoint of what I just witnessed in right here in the state of Florida. No, we got behind the fanaticism with black people, sometimes it helps us, sometimes it doesn't. But I just saw black people get behind somebody and get this person into this democratic state. So let's use the same power. Okay, all right. So we got you this far, right? So you want to go further? You really want to go further? This is what we need. First of all, your website don't say nothing about black people specifically, but it says specifically about LGBTQ women and Puerto Ricans. So until you put something on your website to say you're going to do something specifically for black people, you're not getting our votes. Until you fix this, 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 and this, and this, until you can put stuff in together and that can assure that you're going to take care of these, you're not getting our vote. That's how we should do it.
Right.
But we don't. Like, we're giving Gillum a pass to just be governor, and we don't have anything, any mechanism in place to hold him accountable, or even if the white dude win. Even if the pussy-ass white dude and that monkeying up comment and all that fuck shit that him and Trump got going on, even in that, if he win, how do we hold these people accountable? Because, like, we literally have Gillum's fate right in our hands, and we can't just let that shit slip.
And that's exactly why I say it don't matter. If DeSantis win or if Gillum win, it doesn't matter. We still need policies, and I know plenty of people writing them. Hell, I got a few written myself. We still need policies written, and we still need them lobbied. We need them pushed. If Gillum win, in theory, it'll be easier because you, quote-unquote, have an ally. But if he lose, you still have to find a way to get your policy, your political objectives achieved. So you still got to have that arm going in there, talking to them, strategizing, building support, blah, blah, blah. You still got to have all that. So, and you can do all that without being, pro a particular party or without being this or that. So we don't have a thorough enough understanding of what politics is and how politics works. And I think that's why that's a lot of the reason why we're disinterested in a lot of these races until they become a big deal. Like, how many people with children actually follow school board elections? Every single adult with a child should follow school board elections. Every single one. If you ain't got kids, cool, you get a pass. If you got kids,
come on, man.
Your ass need to follow it.
They don't follow school board elections and things, but and once again, like, I think the dude's name is Larry Simmons, who won the Democratic nomination or whatever, or the thing that he won in for the school board thing. Like, right now, Tallahassee elected the dude Rocky Hanna to be the school board superintendent. And people are still unhappy with the school stuff. He promised this. He promised that. He promised this. He promised that. And people still have issues with the school board because there's no system to hold him accountable. Other than waiting on another candidate who will make you feel good by the way they talk, and then they vote for that person. But it's like we are failing too many times in putting people in these seats that we like. You put the people in the seats that we like and get nothing from them. Those days should be over. You should be able to get everything you want from your candidate unless your candidate don't get your votes. We should be able to step to him like, hey, bro, because I'm in Tallahassee, so a lot of people that I do stuff with in the community, they his friends. They're my good friends. So we should be able to step to him like, hey, bro, look, this is what we need from our community because our community is being gentrified, our community is poor, there are no jobs, all these things. This is what we need, and you really want these votes. Ain't nothing personal, bro, it's just business. Same thing with you, DeSantis. You want these votes? Because we ain't on neither one of y'all's side because politics don't. Nah, because neither one of y'all are homegrown candidates that we created ourselves. So Y'all want these votes? This is what we need for you to get these votes. And if you can't deliver on this, then not only will you not, or let's say if you lie to us, we're going to get you out of there real quick, and we're going to expose you and ruin your political career. Because not only do we have all these people willing to vote for you, but we've got these 10,000 signatures willing to get you out of there too.
But that's playing a political game. That's, you know, because at the end of the day, if you got the votes, you don't need the money. And we don't have the money, so we need the
votes.
Right,
But you got to know how to use them.
Right. If you can get a block of 10, 20,000 people together in a local election, that's enough to swing the election. You can get whatever you want done at the city or state level if you get a block of 20,000 people together, because that's big enough to swing an election.
It is.
You don't have to get hundreds of thousands of people. We've seen plenty of votes, plenty of elections decided on the local
enough people
level
don't vote
by less than 20,000 votes.
Right, because the number of people who refuse to vote.
Right, and so that's where it works to our advantage, having low voter turnout, because that means I don't have to galvanize as large of a group of people to make an impact, and that's the part we keep missing. So
right.
There are so many different strategies, so many different ways we could play this political game, but all of them are better than the way we're currently playing it. Nothing against
right.
Angela Rye, but I can't support somebody that just goes around talking shit. I can't. And that's not saying that I'm saying don't support Angela Rye. I'm not attacking Angela Rye. What I'm saying is the same thing Joe said earlier. We need to start holding people to a higher standard, especially when they have a platform. We need to
right.
hear more than feel-good stories and statements that make them blah, blah, blah. If you come into my city, I want to hear political strategy from you. I want to hear
what
activity
you, right.
from you.
Right, right, right. I don't care that you grew up poor. Here we all grew up poor. You and every other politician that came in here told us they grew up poor. So what? That don't stop you from being a sellout. What are you going to do specifically for my people and my community? Specifically for us. Don't give me no, I don't want to hear no urban answer. I don't want to hear no minority answer. I don't want to hear none of that, because if you start your talk with any of that, we're going to take the microphone from you and you can leave. So what are you going to do specifically for the black community?
And then one other thing we need to do is we need to internalize our favorite message. It's our favorite message and we refuse to internalize it. All skin folk ain't kin folk.
Right.
Just because a motherfucker is black does not mean that they are black. That just means
right.
they melanated. You got to prove. Like, that's one of the interesting things that I've learned about certain families in the Hispanic world. And I'm not talking
yeah.
about culture or nothing like that. I'm talking about certain families. If you don't speak Spanish, they don't really fuck with you.
Yeah.
Something just that simple. You can look. You can have the accent. You can have the stories. If you don't speak, that's their litmus test, the language. I'm not talking about the culture. I'm just talking about the families. We need some of the families. We need a litmus test for being black. Look, I don't give a damn about your skin. I done been fooled by skin far too long.
Ben Carson. Ben Carson. William O'Neill. That's why we have William O'Neill rule.
Yeah, right. Fuck your skin. We need something else. We need a secret handshake, a hand symbol, a walk, a goddamn. We need something that's a little bit deeper than the goddamn skin color.
Right, right. Just because you black. Because like Omarosa. Omarosa sold us out the first chance she got. The first chance she got, she sold us out. And she ain't the only one. Charles Barkley. Like all these different people that we see, like there's people in different all types of positions, even ones who may not be as egregious as them. Because like real gangster shit happens behind closed doors. And a lot of time it's our people selling us out up the creek. Like I'm sitting in the meeting a couple days ago. a couple weeks ago, and I'm sitting next to the black dude who's a part of the project that wanted to do the urban renewal for Frenchtown. I'm looking at Buddy like, is you serious? Because everybody keep talking about economic stimulation. It's going to stimulate the economy, stimulate the economy. It's not stimulating the economy for the average person. It's stimulating the economy for the corporations. Tallahassee has had the largest economic gains out of any city in the state of Florida. But if you really break it down and look at it, it's not jobs, it's not taxes, it's corporations coming in and building up and reaping the benefits off of it. And like the lady, Michelle Rerwinkel Vasilinda, she's running for one of those spots, and I think she won her nomination. She and other people keep talking about bringing outside corporations into Tallahassee to build Tallahassee up and to make Tallahassee stronger economically, totally overlooking the businesses that Tallahassee already has. And people will vote for her because they've been seeing her name for the last 10 years. But it's like, once again, you're still not voting for your interest. And yeah, Rerwinkel Vasilinda is a white lady, but still, like Pat said earlier, well, the person who wins is somebody you like or don't like. You should approach them the same, straight business like.
Right. We got work to do. Democrat, Republican, that's why I'm an independent. I look at both parties the exact same way. Look, I got work to do. You know? Right. If you an ally of mine, I give a damn about what party you in. If you are an enemy of mine, I give a damn about what party you in. Because at the end of the day, regardless of who wins in Florida, who wins the governorship, black people still got needs that need to be met.
Go
ahead.
I'm sorry. Now, I was just going to say one, and it's just popped in my mind. But one good thing I could say, well, one of the good things I could see that come from Gilliam being governor is he could restructure FAMU's board of directors and not have those people on the board of directors who got Elmira Mangum fired. So.
You think he will?
I think that may be one of the things he could do, being such a – well, he's such a strong rattler, so I wouldn't see why not. I guess we'll see how much of a rattler he really is.
Yeah.
I guess.
Truth to come to light once he get in. I mean, I don't know. Everybody I've talked to about him, with the exception of you, loves the ground he – you know, they literally the ground he walk on.
That's because people are looking at – him with rose-colored glasses. And this is not me taking any personal shots at Gilliam. I don't have no issue with Gilliam. I don't have no personal whatever with Gilliam. I don't even know the man like that. But just as a politician, and like I said, it's not just Gilliam, but because he's running for the governor of Florida, because he's the mayor, it's more so highlighted on him. But the whole city commission is trash, though. Because you can't brand the city as an all-American city, but you have forgotten communities. So it's people are looking at this with rose-colored glasses on because a lot of these people don't want to deal with the truth, even though a lot of these people live in these communities that have been forgotten. And that's the thing that bugs me, that really irks me, that I don't get when it comes to this particular race is the communities that you either live in or drive through every day are getting worse, and you can see it's getting worse. And every time I talk to you about it, you agree with me that the communities are getting worse, and you agree with me that the city commission and county commission have failed this, but yet you still have rose-colored glasses. I'm not saying don't support the man. But what I am saying is let's call a spade a spade. Let's call it what it is. Let's put this on the table. Let's say, hey, as mayor, this is what was happening under your mayorship. So now you want to be governor. This is what we expect. And if we don't get this, you don't be mayor. I mean, you don't be governor.
Well, I will say this before we move on. I think the fact that our communities have been forgotten is one of the reasons why it's so hard, it's so easy for us to be fooled. You know, when you're forgotten, all you want is to be remembered. All you want is to be heard and acknowledged. And in those senses, you're not even looking for anybody to do anything real for you. You just want them to acknowledge you. And politicians have capitalized off of black people just wanting to be acknowledged.
Right, Trump.
For far too
right
long.
Now. That's what Trump is doing right now, just because the bar was set so low with Obama. And I thought, you would think we learned our lesson with Obama because we didn't really get nothing out of him. And the bar was set so low as far as paying attention to black issues. That's why Trump gets away with doing what he's doing, because the bar was set low.
I mean, you'd think we'd have learned our lesson at the end of Reconstruction, but, you know, that's... So,
well,
moving forward,
got to read for that. But yeah, tell us about Kavanaugh. What's up with Kavanaugh and the Supreme Court and Trump and all this stuff and that black lady giving that dude the business?
So, Brett Kavanaugh had his hearings last week, this past week, four days.
And tell people who Brett Kavanaugh is, please.
So, Brett Kavanaugh is a judge from the second court. And it's the second highest court in the land, and he is up for. He's been a judge for 12 years. He's been a lawyer for a lot longer. He's in his mid-50s, and Donald Trump put his name forward as the next appointee for the Supreme Court following the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Now, a lot of people have had a lot of speculation about why Justice Kennedy retired, especially considering that Justice Kennedy's son worked for Deutsche Bank, the same bank that Donald Trump got some of his massive billion-dollar loans from back in the day. And I'm not going to confirm or deny those connections. I haven't found really a lot of evidence that leads me to believe that those connections really mean anything. I do think that they knew each other, but the deal with Kavanaugh is Kavanaugh has been around the conservative party for a long time. He is the pinnacle of what you would call a Washington, D.C. political insider judge. He was heavily involved in the Bill Clinton trials. He was heavily involved in a lot of the smear campaigns coming out against Hillary Clinton, going back all the way to the 90s. So he's a heavily involved and he's deeply involved. He's a heavily involved Washington insider. He's very much establishment as it is, and he's extremely conservative. So he had his hearings, and you know at this point these hearings have basically become a bunch of bullshit because judges don't answer any real questions that would give you any idea about their political philosophies and how they would rule on the bench. And Congress largely doesn't push the issue. Because they could easily push the issue by saying, look, if you don't answer our questions, we're not going to vote to confirm you. But we know why they want this man in. They want this man in, one, because he's extremely conservative. Justice Kennedy was a swing vote. He was conservative, but he sided with the Democrats. He sided with the liberals on a lot of key issues, especially issues surrounding human rights, personal rights, civil rights, things of that nature. So with this guy, they have somebody who, like Neil Gorsuch before him, and everybody should remember him because his appointment was stolen from Obama. But Kavanaugh is very much a conservative. So he's also has been released in several of his documents that he doesn't believe in systemic approaches to fixing historic problems, meaning that a lot of the things that were put in place to alleviate and right the wrongs created for black people in America, those things might go bye-bye. So we're still having this fight against affirmative action. With him on the court would shift powerfully conservative, and they could wave that bye-bye. With a lot of other things, especially for women that are always talking about Roe versus Wade, the abortion situation,
right?
That could very well go bye-bye with a Judge Kavanaugh appointment. Not to mention, and here's the deal with the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court sets the foundational understanding for how laws are to be interpreted. They don't create laws. The legislative branch does that. And they largely don't enforce laws for the most part. The executive branch sets up the parameters for that. The Supreme Court interprets laws. And that every black person in America has to understand on the fundamental level what that means. When you have extremely conservative people, and by conservative, we know what that means, people with extremely racist tendencies.
Right.
And I understand here, because there are going to be some people that are like, what They're just fiscal conservatives. They're financially blah, blah, blah. No, that's not this generation of conservatives. This generation of conservatives, they don't mind spending money because we see right. that. Trump is spending a shitload of money. He's spending more money than Obama did. And Obama spent a shitload of money. Not even going to lie about that. These people are conservative in their philosophy and their political understanding. And by conservative, I mean they're very old-timey. And anytime you meet an old-timey white person, as a black person, that should make you nervous. Because old-timey was not good-timey for us.
Right. Yeah, that's slavery.
So he is a very conservative, very that type of person. He's not bipartisan. There have been numerous examples shown where he has twisted his interpretation of the law to get the example or the decision that he wants. So don't be fooled by the guys he put on and the confirmation hearings where he talked about precedent after precedent after precedent. What he didn't say, he said, I have to follow precedent in my court, which he does. What he never said was that the Supreme Court has the ability to overturn precedent and set new precedent, which is what he has said in several of his emails in the history. This is also a man who doesn't believe that a sitting president should be or could be indicted. So we're talking right. about a man getting appointed to the Supreme Court at a period of time when there could be and possibly will be an indictment of the sitting president. You're talking about a man who would, at that juncture, potentially defend Donald Trump
right.
from getting kicked out of office. So all of these things come into play, and we need to be paying attention, not to the confirmation hearings, because that's all bullshit, but research Brett Kavanaugh. Look at what happened. Now, there were some highlights to the hearing. It was interesting. Congresswoman Kamala Harris had a very significant exchange. I'm sure everybody's watched that. Cory Booker had a few exchanges. Senator Leahy. There were a couple of senators that had interesting exchanges with the mayor. But I wanted to just talk about this Brett Kavanaugh situation because we could potentially be coming into an era where our kids, and this man, Supreme Court, that's a lifetime nomination. This man is going to be interpreting the law for the next 20 years at least. Our children could be looking at an America that looks vastly different than our own.
Yeah.
Research Supreme Court decisions and the impact of them. Go back and look at the Dred Scott decision. You know what I'm saying? Go back and look at Brown versus Board of Education. Go back and look at Plessy versus Ferguson. Go back and look at those decisions and what they meant at the time that they were delivered and how they shaped American history. And you'll get an idea of what we're going to be looking at when we're talking about a Supreme Court that is heavy conservative.
Right.
I think out of the 9 justices, if he gets appointed, 6 of them would be conservative, 3 of them would be liberal.
Yeah, so that's basically Trump getting people in office to defend him and his positions and things like
that. And to that, we got to say this, because a lot of people have been giving Justice Kennedy breaks. This whole thing was fabricated. Kennedy had been wanting to retire for a while. He just didn't want to retire while there was a Democrat in office. Now, I interpret that, me being me, as he didn't want to retire while there was a nigga in office. But he was going to retire, and he had been wanting to retire for years. Now, Trump did do things that I think eased the man's decision. Brett Kavanaugh is a disciple of Kennedy's. And if you look at Trump's earlier list, Kavanaugh wasn't in any of those lists. Kavanaugh got added this third go round. So I do think there were things done to entice a Kennedy retirement. But, you know, we can't get away from the fact that Kennedy waited to retire so that a Republican could have a pick. And Trump, I feel like, knew coming in. I think all of the Republican Party knew coming in. I think they knew back when they blocked the Merrick Garland, President Obama's nomination. They knew moving forward that they were going to get two picks this term. They knew they were going to get two Supreme Court justices, and they planned accordingly. And for black people, I want y'all to pay attention to that, because what we have just seen, what this is in the Republican circle, is the culmination of 20, 30 years of unopposed political strategy, where the conservatives created a plan and executed that plan to perfection over 30 years, and the liberals didn't do shit about it.
Right. So stop. Yeah. But that to me goes back to getting off, like we talked about last segment, getting off this Democrat Republican thing. We don't have the luxury to have a preference for either party. Both parties been fucking us up. So, but it's like you said, being able to pay attention, because that was deliberate. That this is real planning. This is real chess. This is real stuff. And we already got you got a president who wants to rule for the rest of his life, and then you got he's positioning people to kind of help support that and cushion his fall. Or even take away his fault, because they know they end up fucking up and doing all that bullshit. But that's why people like Kavanaugh is being put into those positions and things like that. But black people, we have to pay attention, because once again, the trickle down effect, them putting in policies and rules and laws and all those things that further makes things worse for us across the board. Like, we got to stop having fun so damn much, stop paying attention to what the fuck going on. Fuck being entertained all the time. Well, I know it's football season, but fuck being entertained all the time and really pay attention to things that's going on politically that's happening, because our political ignorance is killing us, literally.
Yeah, because it's been a trickle down on your ass right now. And I know everybody is all excited about President Obama coming back and delivering his speech. And that's cool.
About
the speech
what?
Was cool. You know, he finally punched back. Basically talking about the fall of democracy and how we need to step up and do better. And that was cool.
He was a part of it.
But I don't think Obama recognizes. I think he does. But I think Obama is trying to play the role of the great motivator. And I think he's good at that role. I'm not even knocking anything away from him. But I will say this. His speech came out. I think he's trying to influence midterms, but what I think we need from him is for him to use his considerable influence to redirect black people into a workable political strategy.
Yeah, he would be very powerful in that. Say, black people, you're fucking up when it comes to politics. Let me teach you how to use politics to help you out. That would be great. I know you ain't gonna say it exactly like that, but I would like to him to say it like that. But, you know.
But I mean, hell, even if he would just, you know, try to, because he's still trying to be above the water. He's still trying to be a classy guy. He is a classy guy. Say what you want about him. Obama's a classy guy. Him and Michelle, they were very classy people. But when you're fighting a motherfucking dog, class don't do you no good. Now, I'm not saying you got to get down in the mud with Trump. But you got to do something more than be classy to fight back.
Right. But let's just, you said it right. Look, you could be as classy as you want to be, but you better learn how to get dirty when need to be. And if you can't, you're going to continue to be stepped on for the rest of your life. And that's why black people are continuously at the bottom of the barrel. Because, yeah, Michelle told us when they go high, when they go low, we go high. Yeah. And we get kicked in our throats as we go high. Sometimes you got to learn how to get dirty with a motherfucker and do worse than them. Sometimes.
If you don't go low with them, they're going to take out your knees. And that's basically what the conservatives have done to the liberals.
Right.
They went low, the liberals went high, and the conservatives took their motherfucking legs out from under them.
And they go low, you go lower.
That's the rule in football, ain't it?
Hey, man, it's the rule in warfare.
Low man wins, right?
I forgot we forgot that we at war.
Well, because you got to preface that. Look, we're not telling people to just become despicable human beings.
No, but defend your damn self and defend yourself properly. The same, defend yourself against white people the same way you defend yourself against black people. How about that? Because these, especially like these preachers,
These preachers will tell you turn the other cheek all day. Go mess with their car and see how they turn the other cheek. So, but yeah, man, we got to pay attention to all that. Like Trump, the people that Trump choose, he's not choosing these people just because he's choosing these people because he know they're gonna help him out.
Most definitely.
So we got to understand that, and it's the strategy behind everything. It's all about the maintenance of this crazy white shit. So, and don't think these white people are as fractured as they may seem.
Well, don't think that they're fractured. They're being fractured is a sign of weakness, because they'll sew that shit back up real quick to eliminate a threat. That now they might legitimately be beefing with each other, but don't for a moment think that that means that there's a moment for us to slide in and block. No, we need to be taking this time to get our shit together. Really.
Right.
I say that. And I know we've been on for a while, so we got to wrap up, but.
Yeah. And, hey, man, we just got to get better. We love black people unconditionally, and we love black people so much that we're willing to give you the truth, even if it don't feel good. So that's where we at. But you know how it go. I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. This is the Freedom Train podcast series. Go ahead and say your power to the people.
Power to the people.
Power to the people. Black love, black power, Wukusu, all those things. Let's wake up, clean up, stand up, do what we got to do. Support each other, love each other, uplift each other, and let's stomp out white supremacy.
You already know.
Thank you.